Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 19th on the West Coast, now October the 20th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. I'm glad to have you folks with us. And we're going to bring our guest on in a moment. Just want to make a brief comment. Seems that the courts have allowed this bill of allowing homosexuality to exist in the ranks of the military. I think that's a real positive sign, especially for those that are, I don't even know how to talk about this, to tell you the truth. This is so crazy. If people want to be gay, I think that's fine. Let them be gay. I don't think the military is the place. It's sort of like, I'm going to protect your country, but wait a minute, I have to straighten my collar and comb my hair. It's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable. They're allowing this to occur. In other words, the military members who are enrolling enlistees are being told to warn any enlistees that they may have to leave the military later on. Sort of like this issue isn't dead, but I think it's just to garner votes. This is all about politics. It doesn't really have anything to do with fighting wars or being in the military, other than to find another reason to get the gay votes. And pretty much the liberals have those votes anyway, unless there are those who are gay who are conservative. And I don't see how you can be both conservative and gay. And that's about all I want to say on that. But I'm reminded of the background of the usurper in Washington. I'm reminded about the stories that came out a good year or more prior to the 2008 campaign. And I'm speaking about Larry Sinclair's disclosures and the fact that that man wrote a book about his escapades with the short-legged Mac Daddy. And it reminds me of a song. And rather than talk, I think I'll let Lou Reed tell the story. This sort of is the color, the flavor, the aroma of the White House today.
Miami, FLA, hitchhiked her way across USA, plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Everybody's darling, but she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do. Once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey, sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fast. She said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do 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 do.
Song reminds me of what goes on in the White House, but as I was listening to it, I realized that's the whole Congress and the Senate. Anyway, that's Lou Reed, Take a Walk on the Wild Side, or simply Walk on the Wild Side, and that baritone sax solo was played by the legendary Jerry Mulligan, of all, great jazz musician. Well, I think that speaks for everything I want to say, because that's what you're going to have in the military. Take a walk on the wild side. With that, I welcome back to Evident Footprints after several months of a sabbatical. A good friend, a fellow researcher, the host of educate-yourself.org, I should say the webmaster, and a metaphysician, and a historian, my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome back to Evident Footprints.
I'll be back with you.
Hello, Ken. I'm not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Well, it's been a long time.
Yes, it has. Yes. I'm kind of functioning in the way I normally would.
Okay, you're cutting in and out here. Your audio's cutting in and out. I'm not hearing you.
Okay, let's see what I can do here. I've got most of my stuff closed down. Let me cut down one more window and just have to tell me whether it's coming through.
Yeah, okay, I'm hearing you now. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, I had some difficulty. I'll probably wait for another occasion to review it. But in short, I had an operation run against me. The Department of Homeland Security was the main organization behind it, and they ran an operation that caused me to become extremely weak when I sat at my computer. There's a lot of detail to it, and I think I'll probably go into it on another occasion, but essentially I was targeted, so that's why I had so much trouble for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of folks that I refer to as the Etheric Resistance Team look into it and neutralize it. To a normal, let's say, level of work at the computer after that was taken care of. It was taken care of, I guess, in mid-August or so. But it still took some time to get back, and I can't even say I'm 100% back now, but that's the short version of the story. So
mm-hmm. Well, there are plenty of other things that we can talk about, and we certainly don't have to go into that.
I'd rather save it for another occasion. I don't mind going into it, but it's rather lengthy and rather than take today's time. I just wanted to, though, just address what you said about gays in the military. I'm very much opposed to this development, and people who are in the military know full well what sort of problems will surely develop as a result of, this policy of allowing homosexual people to
okay. Can you
military?
Yeah, you're cutting out again. I heard part of what you said.
Okay, well, let me try it again. I was just saying I'm opposed to the idea of homosexuals in the military, and anyone who's in the military knows full well the problems that will ensue from that. You have a great deal of denial from the people on the left, especially, who are promoting this or who think it's great. And it's a negative development. Men who are homosexual in the military don't keep their homosexuality in a bottle. It's part of their persona. Homosexual men are sexually aroused by males. That's the whole idea behind homosexuality. And there are so many occasions where nudity, et cetera, is the norm for people in the military, barracks life and all that. And I see just a whole host of problems ensuing from this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plan. It's a design plan to weaken the military, to further weaken the military. It's not at all an accident. The whole promotion of homosexuality, which has intensified so much in the last year or two, in every walk of life, politics, in the school environment, in the military, and in the work place, it's a full full court press to promote homosexuality as if it's perfectly normal and it's okay. It's just kind of it's almost a religious decision. It's Catholic versus Protestant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree.
It's
not a topic that I talk about because it's none of my business. But I think when someone in the military is going to count on his fellow soldiers, the phrase "I got your back" is going to be morphed into something more along the lines of I'm watching your backside.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, exactly. It's going to cause a great deal of tension. And what's going to happen is that the more essentially, if you want fighting men, you need macho men. You need testosterone heavy heterosexuals who have a capacity and a inner drive to fight physical combat and all that. And it's a different mindset from the frame of mind a homosexual individual has towards another man. This mindset is going to create an incredible amount of tension. There has to be camaraderie on a platonic level between men in a fighting unit. Very deep camaraderie, essentially, to try to protect each other's lives so they can get home alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the homosexual issue is going to drive up.
Okay, lost your audio.
Away.
Yeah, I lost.
Yeah. To a fighting unit. I'm talking about physical fighting, not pushing buttons on a computer. Infantry style combat requires a cohesiveness between the men involved in the fighting. And the homosexual issue is going to drive a wedge into that cohesiveness. It's going to be a disaster, and it infuriates me that a single female judge, federal judge, this goes across the board with all these singular judges who make decisions from the bench that affect the entire course of the country and everyone in the country. This is a usurpation of power. It's up to Congress, the people of this country, and the top people in the military to decide whether homosexuality in the military is going to be allowed or not. Not a single judge. This is an absolute outrage.
Well, yeah, now you have a judge dictating what's going to go on in the military, of course.
Absolutely. It's an outrage.
It plays hand in hand with the stories that Larry Sinclair told about his dalliances with the chief usurper. I mean, this is insanity, what's going on. The level of depravity of politics that this is going to be, I have to watch my words because I can't even use normal terms without it sounding like innuendo.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't have the desire to be a crusader about this, but I do to object to it. I'm thankful for Henry Makow in Canada, who writes many articles.
Mm-hmm.
Decrying the sociological fallout,
yeah,
from promoting homosexuality. I wish there was a few hundred more like him. There are others, but he's the leader, let's say, in bringing this issue to the fore.
Plus, it's being taught to the children in school. I mean,
that's the point I was making. Every walk of life, they're promoting homosexuality. And those of us who realize there's consequences to this, there's dark, negative consequences, societal consequences, certainly consequences to the cohesiveness of family life, the institution of marriage between a man and a woman, etc. These bedrocks of societal stability are being intentionally undermined. And if you recognize it, you've got to say something about it. It's not the time or the place to be. One should object to it. And with in any area school and having it out with the principal or the school board, That's what should be done.
Yeah.
To just sheepishly accept this imposition upon the majority of society, who certainly are not homosexual, is an outrage. As Henry points out in his articles, I'm not into attacking people, but I'm certain, nor would I, you know, say anything to embarrass people who are homosexual, etc. But I'm not going to concur with the idea of condoning homosexuality.
Yeah.
I do not. It is a aberration of normal behavior. It's a it's a perversion. I'm sorry, that's what it is. And you know, to allow this steamrolling because it's politically being made popular, if you will, or it's now politically correct to not oppose the promotion of homosexuality. I think it needs to be decried much more vigorously at the local level.
Yeah.
If it's if it's impacting your kids and your school, then it's time to let the people who are running the school know that it's unacceptable. And we've just got to get serious about allowing the country to be devolved. I talk about the New World Order takeover, takedown of America.
Mm-hmm.
That is the plan. It's been in place for the last 40 to 50 years. And if, like in Nazi Germany, we allow power, et cetera, those who are in control of the political game, et cetera, if we allow them to lead us down this path, we, you know, society, American society as a whole, will pay the ultimate price, just like the German people pay the price for the foolishness of allowing the inductively.
Yeah,
and
Ken,
then
you're cutting out still. I'm getting about half of your sentences. I can get
boy.
The gist of what you're saying, but you're dropping out quite a bit.
Oh, this is unfortunate.
I don't know.
Okay.
If you want, we can try to connect with you via another means.
Well, all right, let's do this because I don't want this to happen for the whole show.
Okay.
Let me do this, Don. Let me close the whole thing down, reboot the whole computer.
Now let me just double check something because I'm getting a message from Seth that you're coming through okay on that end. But what's happening is I'm getting a delay. Kind of a delay in a, it sounds like a log jam. You know, all the data is getting crunched together.
Oh, I see.
Seth, just give me a thumbs up or something if his audio is clear to the stream, and then I'll just try to deal with it. But I can't respond to what you're saying if I can't hear everything.
Yes, I understand.
Seth is not responding. So, I guess he's saying what's coming through sounds great. So maybe it's just something we have here. Okay, there he goes. He let me know.
Okay.
All right, we'll hang in there. I'll try to deal with it. If I ask you to repeat something, it's just because I didn't hear it. The audience is hearing it. So.
Yeah.
That happens. I brought this issue up because it's something that I heard while doing a little bit of traveling today. You know, I had the car radio on and I'm listening to some music, and they went into a news item and they were talking about that. And I got to thinking, you know, how is it that one judge makes some determination and all of a sudden everything in the military has to change?
Exactly.
Years of history are being flushed down the toilet over this, with the caveat at the end. But they must be told that this could change. Well, they know something's wrong, you see. They know something's darn wrong with this. And,
exactly.
And what they're saying is the Pentagon is against this. Well, then who is it that's promoting this. There's only one person, and that's why I played that song that I played. Okay? Because that reminds me of the usurper sitting in the White House. What an example. And I made a sort of a comment about straightening my collar and combing my hair,
you know,
primping, okay, because that's basically, you know, what you're going to have. And all the other stuff I don't need to go into. I don't need to be graphic about it. You know, this just blasting us and bombarding us with this mantra of, you have to accept this. You have to accept it. We don't have to accept it.
There you go.
We do not have to accept it. And you know, I keep my nose out of it because it's so disgusting. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't even want to think about it. But you see, this is another smokescreen to keep us from really seeing the corruption that's going on. And it in and of itself is corrupt too. It's more corruption. You see, it's, and you hit the nail right on the head when you said, you know, it's about destroying family values or destroying the American family. You know, when you have people getting together sexually and they can't reproduce, there's no outcome. There's no natural outcome in as to how that relationship is going to turn out. Oh, they can love each other. They can do the windows and vacuum and cook for each other. And they can sleep together in bed and they can hold hands walking in the park. That's all fine and good. Let them do that. Okay. But when it becomes an issue where they tell us in one sense, they're protecting us, they're protecting the country. The military is not protecting the country right now. And under this mantra of spreading democracy, democracy is nothing but murder and poisoning of innocent women and children and elderly people in foreign countries, robbing their banks, stealing their natural resources, stealing their land, destroying what they have, destroying their history, their tradition. You know, that in and of itself is sick enough. But to force others to accept things that are unnatural. And why are they putting their nose in that business? You see, why are they so concerned about that? You know, that's what closets are for. Isn't that where the term came from? Coming out of the closet?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, and use the term politically correct. What is it that a politician does that's correct at all?
Mm-hmm.
It's political corruption is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more of the same. But, you know, I think that's enough on that topic unless you have something else that you...
Well, I just want to just go a little bit more. The Illuminati uses, enforces Illuminati families, etc., to go homosexual. It's a standard technique in controlling people. There was a woman who talked to me often on the phone and by email who is related to a very high Illuminati family from England. And she had mentioned to me that her relatives, her uncle and so forth, who were in fact from Australia and New Zealand, most of her relatives were there, was forced by the Illuminati to engage in homosexual sexual activity that he did not want to engage in at all. Very much heterosexual individual, but because the family forced it on him, she would say that this kills them, those who are staunchly heterosexual don't want to go there, and they're being forced. And many of them are not, you know, many of them commit suicide as a result of the shame they feel at being forced into homosexual sexual conduct that they don't want to engage in. So it's a theme that you see with mind control victims. If you remember the girl, remember the lady Griggs?
Kay Griggs.
Kay Griggs. She pointed out to her husband, a Colonel Special Forces, I think Colonel Griggs was his name. He was bought into this homosexual activity routine. And as a result, I believe it's used. I don't know all the specifics of it, but somehow the mindset, it's a combination of drugs, electronic mind control application, and this homosexual activity somehow work in sync with each other to make a person more programmable, more pliable to the will. There's this wallowing in depraved behavior. This is where the satanic ritual activity comes in. Somehow wallowing the people that are doing this to be controlled more thoroughly so that they, I don't know, sort of pull them into their sphere of dark influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the promotion of homosexuality as part of this ploy control over the general populace by trying to encourage perverse behavior.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ken, I got to stop you. You are cutting out again, and it is being heard on the other end. So I think we're going to try to get you on the number I usually call you on, if that's okay.
Let me do it this way, because I'd rather...
give me something...
Let me do it this way. Give me a 3 or 4 minutes hiatus here. I'm going to close down completely, reboot from scratch with just Skype alone only, and I have the feeling that we're going to have a cleaner slate to work from. And then once I'm there, I could either advise you to call me, because you'll see when I'm online once I'm back up, or I can call
me. I can bring you back in when I see you pop up.
Okay, let's do it that way. It'll take me 3 to 5 minutes or so to complete this, but you just look for my icon there, and then you'll know I'll just wait for your call.
Okay. All right. So you'll hang up right now?
I'll hang up right now. I'm going to reboot immediately, and as soon as I'm online, you'll see my icon. You call me.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Ken Adachi will be right back with us. We're going to try to establish a more solid connection here. And I guess I could talk about a few news items. There's quite a bit going on in the financial world. They're telling us that Wall Street is in a little bit of a tizzy today, that things weren't going so well. The issue of the mortgage crisis has become part of center stage, we'll say, in let's say, using an excuse for why the economy is suffering so much. And, there is a problem with the mortgage industry, that's true, but they're not really addressing the issue. And I've said all along that they probably won't, because of the level of corruption. Those who are talking about it, and I have to say on the alternative media, on internet radio, and with a few exceptions, there are a few mainstream AM radio talk shows that are mentioning the fact that there is a lot of financial corruption going on. The financial corruption is branching out into areas of county government, state government. In Cleveland, Ohio, for example, there is a county commissioner who is under the gun. And believe it or not, he's asking the taxpayers to foot his legal bill. He's literally being charged And I got to hand it to the FBI for their investigation and this particular case. There's a lot of payoffs, a lot of missing money. They're saying millions of dollars of missing money. And they have the audacity to ask the taxpayers after the taxpayers have already had their money stolen to pay for his legal bills. And they're saying, well, it looks like his legal bills are going to be $500,000. Well, how do they know that? How do they know that unless they just decided that they want to get $500,000 out of the guy? Or maybe it's his house. He can't mortgage his house. There's a problem with that. He can't raise the money, probably because he has no equity, number one. But then that is a game, too. That's the same game. Welcome to the club, Mr. Commissioner, because what happens now is you are actually going to see exactly what's happening to Americans across this country through all the bank fraud that's going on. Now, imagine if, and I'm fairly certain this is going on in every county, in every state across the country, and it's going on in every city, in every state across the country. And we have this story breaking out, and it diverts attention away from the big theft going on in Washington and on Wall Street. Several financial experts, if you want to call them that, have mentioned the fact that there's some $400 billion which has been infused, sort of secretly infused, into the banking system to compensate, again, failed banks. Some of them are probably the original failed banks. And I can tell you on another note that there are entities around the world who are very, very concerned about what's going on because they've invested in a lot of toilet paper, really, for investments. They've bought into various projects or real estate. They've attempted to acquire land or have been given land, on worthless paper that's being played on the backside, no pun intended, in derivatives and hedge funds. It's just never ending. The amount of corruption that has been going on hasn't stopped. They're being a bit more careful or a bit more cautious about how they're going about this. But it's the same thing. You can't be bankrupt as a nation and pretend like you have money. You can't do that. But they're telling us in the mainstream media that things are looking up, that it's getting better, while thousands more every day, tens of thousands are losing their jobs, and they're making predictions there's going to be another million or so within the next couple of months, houses being foreclosed again. And people are standing up to this. They're waking up to the fact that they're being robbed. They're being hoodwinked. They're being defrauded. And this is being assisted by the courts. The reasons the courts aren't doing anything about it, as I've explained on past shows, and as we bring Ken back on here, we're going to possibly involve him in this discussion somewhat as well, is that the judges and the attorneys are part of the trust pools registered as either foreign corporations or Delaware corporations. And they're making money on all of these pooled investments. The real estate portfolios are pooled together, and they know what grade of properties these are, and they know the ability, or they can surmise what the ability of the mortgagees to pay the rents on these properties, and they're betting against the very business that they controlled. They turn the business over to another bank, so that bank takes a hit while they make money, gambling on it, predicting that it's going to go down because it's been designed to do that. And so that corruption is going on. So when they talk about the mortgage dilemma, it's not about who they put in those houses unless they're putting illegal aliens in there that can't afford to pay the house or the rent. They know this is going on. They know it. It's by design. Do we have you back with us, Ken?
Yes, I'm back, John, and I hope it'll be better this time around.
Okay. Well, I was talking a little bit about the mortgage scam and what's really going on behind the scenes, because it's the same thing that's going on with businesses and public properties and all of that. It's just another level of the corruption that's going on. But it's not the big story these days. It's really not the big story. The big story is what's happening up in the skies and up in space all around this planet. I know that you've probably been paying attention to what's going on, and you're in contact with a lot of people. What are you hearing about that outside of what I may have told you? Or,
well, as you know, I'm in communication with a team of very unique individuals who can accomplish extraordinary things. And I've written essays, put up essays on my website, and discuss some of these areas, not all of them by a very large margin. But however, there are some instances in which I thought it was necessary to at least reveal something to the public so that they were aware that positive developments are taking place, and it's not all doom and gloom and the NWO is going to win no matter what we say or do. We talked about this privately, but it's necessary for the larger public to know that there are more forces than they are aware of, countering the New World Order, countering the Illuminati, countering the dark aliens who are assisting the Illuminati to try to subjugate this planet and turn it into a enslaved police state world. But who owns the media? Who controls the media? The Illuminati. So naturally, you're not going to see it on television. You're not going to hear it on talk radio. You will see something on the internet, but the internet requires intelligence and discernment to try to discern who is peddling misinformation, disinformation, from who's giving you more solid material. So that's just going to require people to think for themselves. And there's a guy, by the way, a video documentary producer from Canada, a guy by the name of Paul Verge, who sent me a couple of nice DVDs that he's done. One of them is called Hijacking Humanity. People in putting up videos, putting up audio interviews on the internet, which talk about the whole phenomena of helping particularly children, school kids, to be able to think critically and to not simply accept the dumbing down agenda that has been packaged for us by the Illuminati. this lady, Iverset, I believe her name is. I'm trying to remember the first name, Sharon Iverset. I'm not. It's something with an S. She used to be many years ago Secretary of Education under who? Reagan, perhaps. I'm trying to remember. But she came out a very important book 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. I'm not sure. Very thick book, because I saw it at one of these conferences that she was at. She had a table. But anyway, the subject of the book had to do with the dumbing down of the American educational institution. You hear many people talk about this on the internet, and it's absolutely true. This so-called outcome-based education is part of that subversion of the American educational system. And they are looking to train young people to be automatons, mm-hmm. robots,
yeah.
people who will obey and do the tasks they were given orders, and to not think outside of the box, to not think critically, to regurgitate memorized data like a robot.
Answers, like right. answers exactly. to tests and quizzes.
Yes. And the yeah. way people's, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, I just want to expound it for the sake sure. of those who are listening to the talk. The way you create an attitude or a belief structure is you use these tests that we get in grammar school, in high school, and in college. When you get the correct answer on the test and you get, you know, mark correct, and you get an 87 or a 93 on the test, and you're so happy because you got so many correct answers, which you don't realize a large percentage of those answers were shaped to shape your belief system about what's possible in science, about what the facts are of history. It's a form of mind conditioning. So they're rewarding you. It's the Pavlov dog reward system. When you get the quote correct answer, you get A, you get a high mark on your report card, if they're still putting marks on report cards, you get a high QP, for colleges, you know, I think a 4.0 is a perfect score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're rewarded this way. So subliminally, you're telling yourself, aha, yeah, I got this answer correct because that's what the book told me and that's what I put on the paper. So now I know X, Y, and Z. And then...
whether or not it's true.
That's the point I'm going
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
And then a guy like Kenadachi will put up some article about Tesla or something else in which a physics or an ether physics-based scientist like Tesla will say something or write something that is contrary. Or I'll put up, I ran into this. In 1998, I put up this article called The Joe Cell. It has to do with a water energy cell. It's actually a orgone accumulator.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy in Australia. He's still there. He went by the name of Joe X at the time. And it was very exciting information. And a friend of mine from England made me privy to the story. And I got the video. I studied and I wrote a long article about it. Anyway, I got a lot of email from people telling me that I'm a, you know, ad hominem attack. It's standard issue.
Tell me about it.
Because second law of thermodynamics, you're so stupid, you don't even know. And what they're regurgitating to me is what they got A on the test for in science.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, orthodox scientists call it, the stuff they're teaching in school is based on the Einstein model of physics.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you people who are convinced this is the only physics in the world. There's another area of physics called ether-based physics. Okay,
yeah.
And
Jim
Murray
talks about that.
Yeah, Jim Murray, right.
Yeah.
And in most cases, and a large percentage of cases, the attributes, or let's call it the law, because I point out in the articles that I wrote in rebuttal to these critics, I would say, you know, they call it the law of thermodynamics. It's not really a law. Somebody in academia somewhere along the line decided to anoint it as a law, but it was merely a theory that became, let's say, commonly accepted. And then they transform it gradually into the word a law. It's not, it never was a law. It was just a prevailing theory that became promulgated and was, you know, promoted and accepted as being the acceptable theory. So then they gradually changed the word into law. It never was a law, I would tell these guys in my rebuttal. That's for starters. For number two, is that when you're talking about ether-based physics, you're talking about dimensions beyond the third dimension. You're talking about that there are higher dimensions above the this dimension that have energy systems that don't respond in the way energy systems respond in the third dimension.
And those dimensions can actually be inside these dimensions.
Exactly.
You know,
that's exactly. Oh, very good, Don.
Thank you. Do I get an A?
Yes, you get an A. And so anyway, I would tell the people, so, you know, you're screaming and kicking because you were taught this and you got an A in the test on this question. So now you believe this is the only truth for you and you won't open your mind that the rules of ether physics are usually 180 degrees opposite of the rules of Einstein physics. Example, Einstein physics, entropy. A system begins at a certain level of energy and continually winds down. That's negative entropy, right? So it loses energy all the time. In ether physics, when we're talking about certain energy systems, rather than winding down, it goes in the opposite direction. It winds up and vortexes straight into creativity.
Yes.
I'm sure Jim must have talked about this, but the common vortex, whether you see it in a tornado, whether you see it in the water going down your bathtub, that movement creates in the center of that swirling water mass, what's the word when you have a whirlpool is what
a vortex.
Right. As it's spinning towards the center point of that funnel shape, you're getting what's called implosion at the center there. It's a creative process. The energy is not going downwards. It's accelerating upwards. And if you examine information, the theories, et cetera, of Nikola Tesla, he's talking about many systems that are on this borderland, if you will, between the third and fourth dimension. And he talked about the ether all the time. The ether was accepted science, and I do mean accepted because it goes back to the writings of ancient Greece. Ether science was accepted right up to the time of Einstein. They essentially, academia was, again, this is a setup. It wasn't an accidental thing. But the Illuminati wanted to eviscerate knowledge of ether physics to the general public. So they create Einstein into a demigod. In fact, there's a wonderful writer, a guy named Bjorklund, Chris Bjorklund. He has a Norwegian name. I think I'm close to it. But anyway, he wrote a wonderful book. It's called, in the title of the book, it's Saint Einstein. And this guy, Chris, does a fabulous job of taking apart many of the false ideas that were promulgated by Einstein and Einstein's, priesthood that followed in his wake. So we have to be cognizant of these things, that much of what we're being told is the truth about science, about history, etc., in mainstream education could be true, or it could not be true, or it could be a mixture. But what there is a great deal of is an absence of valuable teachings in our conventional curriculum because they interfere with the agenda of the Illuminati to dumb down greater populace.
Jim and I, if I can insert something here into the discussion, Jim and I have talked about these issues and the fact that Einstein was accepted, his theories were accepted as laws, and Tesla was very irritated by that because he was saying that they were incorrect. Now, you use the term entropy, and normally that, you know, you were explaining it as a thermodynamic quantity I don't know if you said it this way, but I'd like to give a definition because I think this is the key to what we're trying to say. A thermodynamic quantity that represents the unavailability of a system's thermal energy for conversion into mechanical work. Jim talks about energy, the importance of having any kind of energy is in the production of power. And power is used to perform work. That's the end result of an energy. And, mm-hmm. and he uses the example of solar energy. Of all the energy that we produce, 3% of it is solar energy. And it hasn't been reliable, the technologies that have been developed through the use of solar panels and solar collectors and the paraphernalia that gets connected to it, the capacitors or the batteries, are so far behind the technology that's available and that it's really outdated. It's a system that's being introduced to us now, what, 40, 50 years after it began to be used, as if it's some new discovery, mm-hmm. as if it's the only answer. So in that sense, a lot of the dogma in science, in physics, is centered around the information they withhold. And by the way, do you know that entropy, the symbol for entropy in physics is the letter S?
Mm.
Like in serpent?
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
I wanted to make that comment because really the entropy is the unavailability of the system's thermal energy to be converted into some useful work. So there's a waste of energy that's going on, or we don't have a means through which to harness that energy. And it's
yes,
to be a contradiction.
There are many systems that were developed by Tesla and others.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about Tesla just for a second. In 1888, in Colorado Springs, he did a series of tests. He rented a building there. They did a series of tests in which he was able to work out the kinks to a system that he eventually come to call radiant energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is it's a system that is able to extract energy from the ether. Most people, at least with a conventional education, don't know we're immersed in a sea of energy. In fact, it was called by the Sea of Dirac, by one French fellow. But the conventional word is ether, E-T-H-E-R or A-E-T-H-E-R. And anyone who does a Google search on that word, you'll find lots of articles. Anyway, we're the ether exists where it permeates the entire universe. So we're in this, enmeshed in this sea of energy that we don't recognize because, the establishment, if you will, has shut down, suppressed, and stopped those scientists who did learn how to access this unlimited fount of energy from the ether. Tesla was one of them, one of the very important ones, to be sure. But others did it. A guy named Stanley Myers out of Ohio, where you are,
mm-hmm.
who tried to play it straight, but he tried to work with the military, et cetera, so they would let him do it. He thought he was playing by their rules, but they killed him anyway. Anyway, he worked out a water energy system that essentially opened up a window, if you will, into this energy matrix, let's call it that, that energy was able to pour in. Now, the form of the energy could take different forms, but in his case, he was getting a type of energy that would cause a vehicle to run. The Joe cell that I wrote about in 1998 also extracts this energy from the atmosphere, it's orgone energy, and it can put it into the chamber of a, you know, into the a chamber of a reciprocating engine. You know, most cars have reciprocating engines in them. And what happens is, rather than getting an explosion as you do with gasoline, with the orgone energy there and with the compression and with the spark going off at the right moment, you got what we called implosion. And instead of the piston being pushed down through an expansive force, the piston is being sucked down through a vacuum force. And as a result of this, though, first the power is 5 times greater than what you would get from gasoline. The engine runs cool. It doesn't need a cooling system. For instance, the radiator will often tend to ice over with a car that's running on orgone energy. And it does other unusual things. It can levitate somewhat, and it's remarkable what's possible with one of these Joe cells. Well, anyway, Stanley Myers developed his own cell. It's not quite the same as a Joe, but he was able to open up a window. And the way you do that, and this is what Tesla did with radiant energy, you create a potential. Potential is simply means at one point in your system, something is at a higher value, and at the opposite end of your system, it's at a lower value. We're used to this with electricity. We plug a lamp into a wall outlet. There's 120 volts AC voltage there. And one side of the prong is connected to the 120 volt, and the other side is connected to a ground. So the electricity is running through your device, and then it's returning to ground. So the potential is you have 120 volts at one end of your electrical outlet, and you have ground potential, which is at 0 volts. So there's your potential. You have 120 volts AC potential between your two, and therefore energy flows, electrons flows from the higher potential towards the ground potential. If you open up a window in the ether and create a potential, some people know how to open the window but in the ether, but they don't create the potential. Energy doesn't flow unless it can go from a higher to a lower station. Now, in the case, what's interesting, though, about with ether physics, sometimes the energy flows from a lower point to a higher point. Trevor Constable pointed out in his writings with the Reich Cloud Buster that when you're getting a flow of orgone energy with a cloud buster, I'm not talking about a chem buster now, completely different thing. With the original Reich Cloud Buster, what was happening is that orgone was flowing from a point of lower density to a point of higher density. Now, we're so used to the Einstein model. We always say, oh, no, that can't be. It can only go from higher to lower. It can only go from hotter to cooler. No, 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 no. Not in ether physics. It can go the other way. It can go from the lower potential towards, or it's attracted towards, the higher potential.
Yeah, I'd like to insert something in here because I think this would show the intent to hide this from us, okay? Mm-hmm. This is from my computer dictionary, okay, which is provided by Apple, okay? Ether, using the spelling E-T-H-E-R, is the volatile liquid that's flammable, highly flammable, and it's used as an anesthetic, as a solvent, and in intermediate industrial processes. You can use it to start a car on a very cold day, for example. It assists the gasoline in a gasoline engine to be more combustible because of its flammability. There's the ether, which is spelled A-E-T-H-E-R. Archaic physics, they say.
Yeah.
I'm offended by this.
Exactly.
But I'm going to debunk it very quickly. A very rarefied and highly elastic substance formerly believed to permeate all space, including the areas between the particles of matter, and to be the medium whose vibrations constituted light and other electromagnetic radiation. Let me tell you something. Thought moves through the ether.
Right.
Okay? And it's, unless you can see it, it's not necessarily of light, but it's akin to light. And it doesn't have to be electromagnetic whatsoever.
Correct.
And in fact, that's making it more attached to the function of a planet or a celestial body,
mm-hmm.
that has both electricity and magnetism by its polar nature, and the various phenomena that produce static electricity, which can also take on other forms. What about sound? Sound moves through the ether. And all the unseen in the spirit world, you know, I mean, this is a bogus definition.
Absolutely. And
but that's what those that promote Einstein's theories want us to believe, that this is all bunk, what I just said.
I'm so glad you made that emphasis, because that's important. That's where a lot of people get hung up. And they don't understand there is an intentional vagueness. There's an intentional misdirection that's been inserted here.
Yes.
You're mentioning electromagnetic. What most people are accustomed to when they study the subject in school, well, it's common, what we call a transverse wave.
Yeah.
You see it on an oscilloscope as a sine wave. But there's another type of transmission of energy. Again, Tesla discovered this, which is called longitudinal dielectricity. Longitudinal. If you know, I have a couple of wonderful videos made by Eric Dollard in the late 1980s for Borderlands. And he demonstrates addition when he takes, you know what BX cable is, right? That metallic old BX cable. He has one person hold an end of BX, and he has the other end. It's about a 7-8 foot length. And what he does is that to show transverse, he whips it up so that you can see the sine wave moving along the cable, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what he does, though, to demonstrate, that's an example of transverse waves.
Yes.
But longitudinal waves move longitudinally. And what he does is he has the assistant, who I think was Tom Brown of Borderlands, hold the cable stiff, and Eric holds the cable stiff, and Eric would pull the cable. So in other words, there is no flexing, there's no wave running along the length of the cable, as he demonstrated.
Mm-hmm.
The cable itself remains stiff.
Yeah,
he's pushing it or pulling it back and forth. So there's a movement there, mm-hmm. but it's not the transverse wave.
Yes.
This type of energy has a fourth dimensional component to it.
Yes.
It can deliver energy. This is what radiant energy is all about.
Yes. Jim and I did a series of shows going back a number of weeks ago, three or four weeks in a row, we talked about this phenomenon. And mm-hmm. the fact that the electricity actually leaves the wire and is traveling outside or the cable, you know. It doesn't have to have a wire to flow through, and there's a point at which it reaches a certain state where it's not even interested in following the wire.
Yes.
That occurs in the ether.
Yeah, and that's why he developed what he called a wireless transmission system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Wardenclyffe was all about.
Yes.
A huge transmitter at Wardenclyffe would radiate the signal, and anyone who had a receiver could pick it up from the ether.
Mm-hmm.
And you could run your washing machine on it, or run whatever, or your light bulbs, or whatever you wanted to run on it. This was suppressed. Wardenclyffe was built in 1903 and torn down in 1917. We could have had, and that's why it was torn down. As you know the story, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Once J.P. Morgan found out that he didn't have to put a meter on this,
yeah.
He said, oh, what?
Well, just think now, when you get into, when you talk about anti-gravity, and we're about out of time here, but mm-hmm. you talk about anti-gravity, that serves the purpose of levitating an object.
Yes.
From the phenomenon of gravity to move away from a gravitational field, but once a craft, let's say a disc, a flying disc, reaches space, there's a whole new technology that takes over at that point.
Right.
And it's antimatter. It's not electromagnetic in nature. It's antimatter. Totally different phenomenon. And they're aware of this. Of course, they don't talk about that too much, do they? You're not
No, but they certainly have developed plenty of systems themselves along these lines.
Yeah.
All this is hidden from us, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how we got on this topic. We've been talking about...
Yeah, I know. We started out with talking about...
Well, I think it's because of the tests of the hidden knowledge, you know.
Wound up here. Yeah, but it had to do with suppression of hidden knowledge, right?
Yeah. Well, Ken, we're out of time, but it was interesting. We're going to pray for your protection and your peace of mind and non-interference from the jackbooted thugs.
Thank you, Dan.
and prayer is very effective. And
definitely, definitely. I've had a lot of people who did help me when I was having a lot of trouble. I was definitely buoyed. I got nice emails from many people who said just what you said there. They were praying, and various people had various abilities, and I definitely did respond to that help. So, you know, this is a good opportunity to just thank everyone who sent me emails. There's a lot of emails I just couldn't answer because I was just too weak.
Well, they're time-consuming.
Sit at the computer, you know, particularly when I was having the trouble. I couldn't sit at the computer. It was like I sit there for 1 minute. The computer was like kryptonite for me. It was unbelievable. I had this be 9 or 10 feet away. So the party who found out what was happening had got the fellow who set this whole deal up to reveal what he did and how he did it. And that's what he said. Well, you know, the fuel that he created stopped about 9 feet away. And that's just what I noticed through my own trial and error. If I was 9 feet from the computer, I wouldn't be affected. But if I got in front of it, it was like kryptonite. I couldn't sit there for a minute. I was being fried. It was unbelievable. But we had it taken care of, I'm glad to say. And if there's a repeat of it, the fix will be a little bit more pronounced than the first time around.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's another example of how the ether can be misused or abused.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And focusing on something being focused on the wrong frequencies intentionally. You know. Okay. And there's a lot of people that go through that type of harassment around the planet. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And there's all sorts. So, you know, it can come in an email, you know. It can come we don't even need to go there. But I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm sure the listening audience is. And it's a breath of fresh air to have you back on the show, and I look forward to having you more often as you become stronger and stronger.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Again, your website, educate-yourself.org, you are posting new material there.
Yes, there is new material there, I'm happy to say. And if I had more time, I would put it more, but I'm trying to work on orders. But I'm particularly drawn into the JFK assassination at the moment. There's a lot of fascinating data there that I hope to add to the story that I put up. So.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got good stuff from Z.S. Livingstone there, and so there's a lot of fascinating things there.
Yes, you've been catching up. You know, there's a lot that's been going on around the.
Yes, right. I have a chemtrail update too. Somebody wrote me a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. So the chemtrail update talks about some of the information from the etheric resistance.
Mm-hmm.
That they found. So.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of things to talk about the next time we get together.
Yeah. In closing, I wanted to remark along that line. I noticed over Ohio today we had beautiful blue skies, and I would say 15 minutes after somebody made that comment to me, what a wonderful day it was, they began bombarding the skies with chemtrails.
Yes.
And a very aberrant weather pattern was created. And I was tending to some business, and about an hour and a half later, when I went back outside, it was all gone.
Wow.
It was all gone. And, you know, I've announced to the listening audience that the United Galactic Federation is mitigating the chemtrails. It's a 24/7 job because they're spraying them all the time.
Exactly.
You know, this new movie that came out, Jackass 2 or whatever they call it, did about $50 million of business the first day it was out. That shows you where people's minds are, okay?
Yeah.
What I found interesting is they played a commercial for that, and they were showing little clips, you know, in the trailer, and they were actually spraying chemtrails in the sky while they were filming. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's in cowboy movies and, you know. Oh, but
I absolutely avoid movies like those Jackass movies and so forth.
Yeah,
I will not watch them, even if I was given a free CVD. And I hope parents, you know, would not have their kids, or for that matter, even teenagers themselves, not to be attracted to that. It is destructive to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you a less of a functioning human being. It makes you a lesser. Concerned, responsible citizen. It's buffoonery, but it's destructive buffoonery, and that's what's wrong with the movies like that.
Yeah, it's designed to lower your intelligence quotient and just anything.
And kind of get into this, you know, Jim Belushi, John Belushi, rather, did this in his movies too. Kind of that wild type behavior, you know, frat party gone wild type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like in Animal House, where he takes the guitar and smashes.
In Animal House, right. And you know, that's tame compared to what this Jackass stuff is, I suppose. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it. I've heard of it, but I wouldn't see that stuff. It's destructive. It's destructive to the mind.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping young people would realize that movies like that, horror movies, are designed to inculcate these darker, let's say, forces. You attract darker forces to you when you see movies, because it gives the kids nightmares, of course, and they kind of just get into that whole world of drawing dark energy towards them. So any parent who's hearing this, see to it that your kids watch movies that are wholesome, that have a moral message, and that are not destructive on any level,
yeah,
but are uplifting. You can have great humor without it being disparaging or belittling or disgusting or
degrading. Or, yeah,
degrading. That's the word I wanted. Thank you. Yes.
Well, right. It's the same as disparaging. I mean, you said it, but
yeah,
yeah, because it's really intended to insult the viewer's intelligence.
Yes, and I'm so aware to it that these movies are made. They pay a great deal of money to producers to make these movies. You know, this happens in the music industry.
Yeah.
They pay rap artists to say
certain number of swear words.
Swear words, right? They're being paid, and if you don't like it, then suddenly you don't have a contract anymore. You're not getting that cocaine, you're not getting all that money. They bribe these people to encourage degenerative behavior. And the public needs to know that this is not happening by accident. This is, they're following an agenda. It's a script.
Yeah. Okay, well, Ken, appreciate you being on the show. We got to say goodnight. I want to thank you. And again, the website is educate-yourself.org. Do yourself a favor. You can spend a lot of time there reading a lot of really interesting stuff. It's the internet encyclopedia. So that website.
Thanks, Don.
All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSradio.com and our special guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Special thanks go out to Wind Talkers Radio Network. Over at BBS Radio, want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.